Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the teacher. Jesus, we thank you that you loved us so much that you prayed to the Father. You said, I will not leave you here as an orphan. I have prayed to the Father and asked the Father to send one alongside to help you, and that is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, you're our guide. We just love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Because, as Dr. Fuchsia Pickett has said, with you, Holy Spirit, the classroom is always open. You never go on vacation. You never have to take a rest or break. You're always willing to teach us. So, Holy Spirit, life this word inside of us and use this word inside of us to give life to others, the life of Christ. We ask these things of you, our teacher. In the name of Jesus, amen. Wasn't that beautiful of the Lord to love his bride so much that he wanted to make sure his bride was taken care of? So he sent his bride a teacher. Hallelujah. I might need to get something out of the trunk for Miss Denise, unless she's got what she needs to teach children today. Will you check and see, sweetie, if she doesn't have, I don't always bring it in. If she doesn't have what she needs, will you let me know and I'll give you the keys to. Okay, so we're on page 9. We stopped on the third tithe. She's good. Okay, but I'm just going to do by way of review. I'm not going to reteach this, and for that we give thanks, amen, so we can move forward. The three dimensions of tithing spoken of by God, the top of page 9. Of course, you have the Maser Rishon. That's how you pronounce that. Maser Rishon. That's the first tithe, the Lord's tithe, the most holy tithe. Okay, that's the one you want to make sure you don't devour. It's marked to devour the devourer, not you, okay? In Hebrew, maser means tithe, a tenth, and rishon means first. So therefore, you have the first tithe. Your scripture reference there is Leviticus 27, 30 through 34. We're not going to reread that. But they would literally take their animals, line them up. They would place the harvest on top of the animal. They would count to the 10th animal, pull that animal out of line, and that animal and what was on that animal was holy and set apart unto the Lord. It belonged to God. Okay? And they kept on down the line until they had worshipped the Lord completely with all of their harvest. Now today, you know, we're not an agricultural society, but today this is the first tithe of our gross before taxes, our income. Okay, because it is it's the first tithe. Okay, it comes out first, but it comes out of the gross before anything else. We don't tithe off of the if you want to do it right and do it scripturally right, then you don't tithe here off of your net after your taxes and other deductions come out. You tithe off of your increase. Okay, and like we said last week, which we'll speak a little bit more. When you look at your paycheck and you see that you've sent X amount of money over to the government, you can say, Lord, I've sent this money. Now, Lord, it wasn't voluntarily. It was involuntarily. It was asking me. You said to give to Caesar the things that are Caesar and give to God the things that are God. You said for me to pay my taxes. And so, Lord, I am doing that. So, Lord, I have a vested interest in our government. Father, I want to see righteousness come to every part of our government. I want to see salvation come. Wouldn't it be great if revival broke out in the Senate and the House of Representatives? Amen. Glory to God. That would be, well, a few people excited about that. Wouldn't that be great? Yes. If God's power broke out? You talk about wisdom and direction and understanding. And that they could just all work, they could work together. Yes. Amen. Now, wouldn't that be a blessing from the Lord? Amen. So, and I don't mind even putting this in right here. And bless the Lord, when revival breaks out, Lord, they won't be voting themselves an increase. They'll be happy with what they've got. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I make no regret for that comment right there.
Amen.
They vote themselves in an increase, and the American people are... some people don't even get an increase. You know, some people don't even get an increase in their paycheck. But not a tither. I said not a tither.
Amen.
A tither can expect an increase.
Yes.
And expect, because the Lord is the one that provides for you. Amen? Okay, so then we have the second tithe, which is the Maaser Shenai. And this is the family tithe. Now, it's beautiful to know that God is just as interested in you tithing to yourself. This is a tithe to yourself. That God is just as interested in you tithing to yourself as He is to Him. And we looked at that last week. We looked at many thoughts about that, and they were all good. I'm not going to review it. You can go on the our webpage, and all the teachings are there by audio. You can go and review that. But the Lord is interested in us saving. And I just have a personal thought about that, and that is that sometimes we have needs that arise in our life, and we want to blame God because we have lack. Well, the Lord says all that He blesses us with is holy and set apart. It is just as important to God how I spend the 90%, when it's really not even 90% because it's 2.5 is our first fruits, and then 10% is our tithe. So 100% minus 12.50, come on you wonderful mathematicians, would be 87.50, I think, off the top of my head. It is just as important to God what I do with the 87.50%. Is just as holy to God. Does it matter to God how I spend the rest? Yes, it does. And if I am saving and putting aside, then when I have a need in my life, it causes me to abound in thanksgiving toward God. Thank God it is there, just like Dolores found the extra in her purse this morning when she opened it up. It causes me to abound in thanksgiving toward God because I've got it. I don't have to run to the charge card. Okay? Now, like I said before, this is not a teaching about condemnation. But you know, church, it's time for us to get it right. It's time for us to get it right. God's Word says He teaches about usury. And that is excessive interest. Okay? And so we need to get it right. Help God to help us to take care of what we need to take care of. And this is meant to be a teaching on finances too. Okay? So you take that 10% and it is holy unto God, and God's going to watch over it. Okay, the second tithe, the family tithe. In Hebrew, Shenai means second. God is just as interested in this tithe as He is His tithe. He even says that we are robbing Him if we don't honor Him with the second tithe. That's why Malachi says 3:8. You have cheated me of the tithes, that's plural, saints, and offerings due me. Okay? This is the tithe of our net after taxes and other deductions have come out. So after your taxes come out, you take a 10% of that. And like we said last week, just do it. Do it. Move it over to a savings account. Find a place where you don't have a high balance requirement. You don't get service charge. If you've got a bill and you got to pay it, then move it back over to the checking account. But start doing something by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Is it good to save? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider the ant.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking around for food come the wintertime. They're buried deep in the earth and they're eating good. How do I know they're eating good? Because when spring arises, I see them popping up on my yard.
Yeah.
They've been eating good. They've stored. Okay, so this is meant to bring deliverance into our life. Okay, Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27. We're not going to look there, but this is so we leave an inheritance to our children, y'all. This is for us to enjoy. This is so we leave an inheritance to our children and our grandchildren. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Dean's mom, love her. I learned this word from Carmen. She wasn't my mother-in-law. She was my mother-in-love. Okay? I couldn't ask. I was like a daughter to her. Okay, so, and we had in common Christ. That was the common that we had together. But that lady, she didn't have a lot. She didn't. By this world's means, she didn't have a lot. She didn't live in a real nice place. But when she left this earth, she left an envelope for all of her grandchildren. Mm. And it had money in it. Mm. She left an envelope for, but to them it was a lot. Mm-hmm. To them it was a lot. It was something. She did something. You understand what I'm saying? We got to start somewhere. It doesn't matter what you leave. It's that you leave something. She left an envelope for her son and her Dean and his brother Gilly. She left things. She was always a giver. She left things for her family. She left a home. She left land. You know why? You know why? Because she was not a person that always consumed everything on herself. Now, she did love nifty gadgets. I learned more about kitchen gadgets. I never knew such kitchen gadgets existed. I never knew there were such things. Like, I saw my mama open a can with a knife. But she had so many nifty little gadgets, I didn't even learn about these things. Caitlin, I'm going to get off on a rabbit, but I'm going to go back. I'm going to get my point across like this. I never really, honestly, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't even know you called that thing a whisk until I met her. I didn't know what a whisk was. And Caitlin had to do, at Center for Inquiry, Michaela, she had to do an expert project. I'm sure you're well familiar with those, unless they've changed the name to protect the innocent, I don't know. But an expert project. Her first expert project was on cooking, and her teacher was amazed she knew what a whisk was. She said, Caitlin, I didn't know what that was until I was in college. I didn't know what a whisk was, but you know what a whisk is. So I'm saying she did like her nifty gadgets, but she did not lustfully spend her money. She did not run off and spend things on greed or lust so that she had something. She probably even lived below her means. Mm. But that was her choice. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because she didn't think about herself. She thought about people that would come behind her. Mm. I'm sure she did, because she was a giver. Anyway, just moving on. So that's why we do this. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Right? Dean and I don't have a large bank account, but we believe in saving money, and you know, we want to leave our children something. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
Proverbs 13:22. This is a type of laying aside for unexpected needs as well as for the future. Was this the Lord's intention for us instead of paying high interest? Selah. Okay, so let's keep on going. Now we're going to get to Maser Anai. I gave you the phonetic spelling on that, but I'll do it again for those of you who maybe missed that. Maser is MASAYER. Maser, and that's MASAYER. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You're welcome. And Anai is /- N-I with a long long emblem over the I. It's a long I, Anai. It's a third tithe, the tithe to the poor. So in Hebrew, Anai means poor, afflicted, or humble. And we're going to get into these scriptures in just a moment, but you give it to the stranger. You know, it doesn't have to be someone you know, okay? Well, you give it outside of yourself. You don't keep it, okay? You give it to the stranger, the orphan, the widows, and the Levites in need. Now, the Levites, we know, could not own land, could not own property in biblical days. They do today. Ministers do own property. They do. I grew up living in what's called a parsonage. It was owned by the church. That's where we lived as a family. I remember it well, because when we moved out of that parsonage, I'm going to tell you, a mouse couldn't have found a crumb in that place when we left, because my mom believed in leaving it clean, and I know it well. But anyway, that's here nor there, but it does mean something to me, because I learned that from my mom and from my dad both, to respect and honor what you have and take care of what you have, and especially if it belongs to someone else, all the more you take care of it. Amen. You do it as unto the Lord. But anyway, but Levites today, it could be retired ministers that live on a fixed income that need help paying their bills. That could be very well. Could be that where the Lord directs you to give it. This was to come out of the family tithe or the self tithe. The family tithe. Another word for that is the self tithe. Okay, you're tithing for your family every third year. Today, this could be giving a third of the self tithe away to someone in need, and this could be done every month. We'll get into that a little bit later. You don't necessarily have to do it every month, but we'll get into that a little bit deeper in a few minutes. But let's go to Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus. Someone look up. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy. My apologies. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Someone look that up. Someone look up Deuteronomy chapter 26. And someone go to Leviticus 25. Do you know, if you don't give to the poor and you spend all your money on yourself and you have a problem with greed and with lust, do you know that you don't fear God? If you don't handle your money right, I don't care what you say, you do not fear God.
That's right.
I make no apologies for that because Leviticus 25:17 is going to prove it. It's going to prove it. Okay? It's going to prove it. You do not. You have to demonstrate. You have to. The fear of God is demonstrated in the way we live and how we conduct ourselves. But thank God there is mercy and forgiveness and we can have a new beginning. Amen? Sure. Anyone in here thankful for new beginnings?
Yes.
I am. I'm thankful that every day is the mercy of God. Every day is the mercy of God. Every day. There is mercy for my failures and power and grace to live for God, to do what He wants me to do. I need mercy and grace. I need mercy for my failures and grace for His power to do what I should do. Okay, anyone who has Deuteronomy 14, 28 through 29, please raise your hand. I want you to read it for us if you've got it. So I can bring the mic to you. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring out all the tithes of your produce in the same year and lay it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do.
Amen. So what does the Lord say is going to happen to the person who does this?
They're going to be blessed.
They're going to be blessed in all their work. They're going to be blessed in all their work. Thank you, Anna. Now, at the end of every third year, bring the entire tithe of the year's harvest and store it in the nearest town. Now, this is not talking about the holy tithe. This is, you got to read this in reference. Go back up here. This is the family tithe. If you go back to 22, he says to set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and you eat it there. So who does it go to? You. This is the family tithe. This is the family tithe. This is what God told them to do. Okay? So we go down to verse 28, and God's saying that of this family tithe, every third year, the family tithe, he's speaking about the family tithe, the tithe that goes to us. Okay, are we getting that? This is not the Lord's tithe. This is not every third year you take the Lord's tithe that goes to the house of the Lord and you give it to the poor. That is not what this is saying. I want everybody to be really clear on that, okay? Because God does not contradict himself, does he? He's not going to say, bring the first tithe into my house and then turn around and tell you in the third year to give it to the poor. He's not going to do that. The tithe goes to the Lord's house. It does not go to the TV evangelist. It goes to, it doesn't go to help a good cause. You honor the Lord's tithe and you'll have enough to give to the TV evangelist. That'll be a seed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, at the end of every third year, bring the entire tithe of that year's harvest and store it in the nearest town. I want you to concentrate on that word, store it, in the nearest town. Carmen touched on a little bit this morning. Store it. That means you hold on to it until you are sure where to release it. You hold on to it. You pray and you seek God. Okay, this might sound very cruel, what is about to come out of my mouth. Okay, but just because a person doesn't has a need doesn't mean I'm the one to provide it. You need to be sure, because this is holy. The third tithe has a blessing attached to it, so you need to hold on it until you're very sure. The Hebrews say be tight-fisted. That does not mean to be greedy. That means you hold on to it in your hand until you're sure where you need to release it, because it is a commandment of God and you want to obey God in it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Are you clear about that? So you store it in the nearest town. Give it to the Levites, who will receive no allotment of land among you, as well as to the foreigners living among you, the orphans and the widows in your town, so they can eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. Okay, so you could use your third tithe to give to attack the lack. You could use your third tithe when we give to the widows, or we give to the orphans. You understand what I'm saying? You can still bring it into this place, or you can put it in someone's hands. Because you know, in this house, we have what Carmen calls chambers. What's that, the book of Ezra?
Nehemiah.
The chambers, and it's all designated. Carolyn does a wonderful job. Let's praise the Lord. Amen for Carolyn. She does a wonderful job keeping the right money in the right chamber. Okay? So if you bring it here, you can be sure that's why we give you an end of the year financial statement from the church. So you know where the money came in, how it came in, and where it went. Okay? So you could do that. Okay? Who has the next passage? Deuteronomy 26, 12 through 15. Who's got that one? Raise your hand when you got it so I know you got it. You have it, Tammy? Okay.
When you have made an end of tithing all the tithes of your increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat inside your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them to the Levite and to the stranger, to the fatherless and to the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord God, of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel, and the land which you have given us, as you swore to our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey.
Now, did you hear that confession that you confess over when you give to the, you release the third tithe? This is something that I have failed to do, that Dean and I both together have failed to do, because I've heard this teaching years and years ago, but you have to go back and review. Sometimes you forget things, okay? But we need to be, when you release the third tithe, you need to make this confession over this, over releasing your third tithe. The Lord says, then you shall say, you do this, you release the third tithe, and then God doesn't say, then I will say. God says, then you shall say. This is what you will say as you release this. Okay, you will say, Lord, I've honored you. This is paraphrased. I don't have that scripture committed to memory. But Lord, I have honored you in releasing the third tithe. Now, Lord, you said that you would look down from heaven and you would bless me. And you would bless my land. Where's your land? What did I tell you your land is? Where's your land? Everywhere you walk. Your land is your workplace. Not only, you know, our land as a body, the land that God gave us on Rhyme Upon Road. Amen. Lord, you will bless your land. that land is meant to be occupied, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's meant to be occupied. He'll bless it by putting a building there. He'll bless it by providing. So when we do this as a body and we release our 10% tithe to go to Louisiana, this is our confession over that giving in Deuteronomy. This is our confession over it. Okay, so the Lord says we say something when we release this third tithe. It's the promise of God to bless us. So if you have given the third tithe and given to the poor in the past, you need to play ketchup. You know that my dad says that's the stuff you know you put on hamburgers and hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Ketchup. Yeah. You need to play ketchup. You need to get in there and start making this confession over your giving to the poor. Oh, come on. Start making this confession over your giving to the poor. Oh my goodness gracious. Well, what does the Lord say He'll do? Maybe we just need to read that again. Not that Tammy didn't do a good job. She did a great job. Now look down from your holy dwelling place, Father. Those in this place, Lord, that have ever in the past given to the poor, are giving to the poor right now, and will give to the poor, Lord, and those in the body of Christ that have ever given to the poor, Lord. Now look down from your holy dwelling place in heaven and bless your people, Lord, and the land you swore to give our ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My goodness. Milk and honey represents the best of the land. The sweetest and the finest. The richest of the land. You know, back in these days, if you had a cow that gave milk, you were blessed. Okay? So the milk represents the blessings. And the honey represents the sweetness of the land. That it's a good land. And it represents more than that. I know it represents more than that. That would be a good study for somebody to study that out for us. Okay? I just get excited when I think about how God wants to bless us.
Yes.
I get so excited about that.
Yes.
Leviticus 25:17. Someone got that for us?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Leviticus 25:17. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God.
Okay. If we oppress one another, that means if someone has a need and we have the means to give it and we withhold it, or don't treat people right, show partiality in our giving. We can give to one, but we can't give to the other when we know they have a legitimate need. Then the Lord says, there's a problem with us fearing Him. He says, do this so that you will learn to fear. I will know that you fear God. Because God says, don't show partiality, doesn't He? Yes, He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. Yes, He does. You know, like sometimes we pass judgment. I'm not saying always you have to give money to people that are on the streets holding signs or something, but please, for Christ's sake, do not pass judgment on them. Please pray for them, because you really don't know. You really don't know their needs. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to always give them something, but it also means, you know, that we can at least pray for them, can't we? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, ma'am.
This morning on the way here on Caleb, they were saying, this is a quote from Teresa, the nun.
Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm.
That when you pass judgment on somebody, you're using that time instead to love them. Mm. I didn't get the quote exactly right, but a quote from Mother Teresa, somebody could probably look it up to make sure with the exact quote. But when you judge somebody, you have used up that time that you could have loved them.
Wow. And a demonstration of love is to pray for them, isn't
it? Yes.
Yeah. Good. And we know that she did walk in love. She did love sacrificially. She did. If you're not sure about her life, then look it up. But she did love sacrificially. calculating, now page 10, calculating the giving of the first fruits and the three tithes. Okay?
If you want that quote.
Okay, Noel has it for us. Okay, Noel.
It says, if you judge people, you have no time to love them.
That's what it was, yeah.
There are no great things, only small things with great love. Happy are those if we have no peace. It is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other.
Well, read that one more time, sir, loud so everybody in the room can hear.
If you judge people, you have no time to love them. There are no great things, only small things with great love. Happy are those if we have no peace. It is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other.
Mm. We have no peace, we've forgotten that we belong to each other. Amen. Now, going back to page 9, jot this also down, this scripture verse down. 2 Corinthians 9. And actually, we need to take a moment to read that. I'm not going to keep you long. I have my watch. Let's go back to page 9. I apologize, but I skipped that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because I don't want people to think, well, this is just, this giving to the poor is just an Old Testament principle. It doesn't apply in the New Testament. Well, you're very wrong. You're very mistaken. People are still people, you know. They're still alive. They're still living. There are still those in need. Jesus himself said, the poor you'll always have with you. 2 Corinthians, because you know what? You always have a chance to be blessed by God. Come, oh, wow, that was good preaching, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You always have a chance to be blessed by God. You'll always have the poor with you. You'll always have a chance to be blessed by God. Amen. To have God's blessing on your life. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read this. Okay, this is talking about the collection for Christians in Jerusalem. I'm not going to read all this, but I'm just going to give us a heart of it. Apostle Paul is saying, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Everybody got it?
Verse
1. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for believers in Jerusalem. I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. Wow. Verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a little few seeds will get a few small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Amen. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will remain forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. A great harvest of generosity in you. It causes a chain reaction. You know, if you ever stop that flow of giving outside of yourself, then you stop the flow of God's blessing in your life. You stop the flow of God's blessing if you ever stop giving outside of yourself. But you can keep it going on and on, and God will give you more and more to give. It's his promise, because God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
The Amplified Bible says he prizes above all else and is unwilling to do without. God is unwilling to do without a cheerful giver whose heart is in it. Oh my goodness. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. That's the gospel. The gospel is about giving, isn't it?
Yes.
Jesus refused to send the hungry away without feeding them. Remember, he told his disciples, you feed them. I don't want to send them away. They'll grow weary and faint on their way back home. Okay? Then they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. If somebody comes to you, if God uses someone to come to your need, you're about to lose your home, and God uses someone to come to your need to provide your mortgage payment, and you are not a greedy, selfish person, and you're not a prideful person, but you're a humble person, man, the prayers, your name is going to be mentioned all throughout the day by them to God.
Yes.
God, thank you for Brother Noel and Sister Annette. Thank you, God. Just when I needed it, God, you used them. Thank you for them, God. Bless their children. Bless their home. Lord, meet all their needs. Yes. Yes. Sister Arabella gave me a plaque. I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it said, if you were kind to someone throughout the day, if you shared, and I'll write that down so I can get the quote exactly right. But if you were kind to someone, and if you helped someone out throughout the day, then you can be assured that your name was mentioned by them at night when they went to God to pray. Something along that effect. Okay? So it's what Paul says. It will call others to abound in generosity, not just to God, but for you. That's right. Because you're the instrument God used. Amen. If God used Brother Noel to supply a need, I'm not going to run off to Sister Vertel and give her the thanks for providing the need, am I? I know God provided, but she wasn't the instrument. Amen? Carmen?
Just a thought. Perhaps that's how the monument, the memorial for Cornelius got built.
Wow.
Perhaps it was the words of the people that he helped. Because God says that there was a memorial before him.
Wow.
With Cornelius. Perhaps that's a thought. We need to search it out. That's how the memorial got built before God with Cornelius.
Do y'all remember that passage? He needed, what did Cornelius need?
For his household.
Yes. And they said, Lord, remember him because he has built a synagogue for us, the Jews. And it said that his giving had caused a memorial to go up before God.
And perhaps it was them continuously saying, Lord, thank you for Cornelius that he did this for us every time in thought, every time he was mentioned. Perhaps that's how the memorial got built. I see that look on her face.
Well, what's coming to my spirit, and the Holy Spirit is, when we, as children of God, do the same thing, can't you see them saying, Lord, I thank you for River International Worship Center because they supply a need for us and we needed it right then and there. Somebody is thanking God and praying for, it's mentioning this body.
That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. And even if we do it anonymously, like giving it to CLEN to train those pastors, you don't think those pastors are going to bow their knee in prayer and thank God, even though they don't know us, they're going to bow their knee in prayer and thank God. You know, when God calls you, I'm telling you, when God gives you the responsibility to feed other people his word and you know you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for what you fed the sheep, that'll put fear and trembling in you and you go to God and say, God, I need wisdom. I need training. I need guidance, God. I need understanding. Did you have something to say, sister? Okay, so I just had a thought. Why don't we spend some time this week, and I know all of you think about this, but why don't we spend some time this week offering praise and thanksgiving to God for the instrument he used to pay off our land on Rhyme Upon a Brook Road. Why don't we spend some time this week before God asking God to bless the folks that did that. God, you know what the need they have in their life, God. Whatever it is, God. They did it unconditionally. They did it with no strings attached. They didn't want to be recognized. They didn't care to get the honor of man. God, you saw it. Let it go up as a memorial before you, God. And you know exactly what they need in their family, Lord. Will you join me this week in doing that? Isn't that what the scripture says? We don't want to be a greedy and ungrateful people. Look what God has done for us. Oh my goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that to our heart and to our mind, God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that.
You mentioned that, but you know, we're still connected with Pastor Frank in a way that it's funny because I have a lady that she attended his church, the blind lady.
Yes.
She lives right down the street from me, and I probably get a phone call from her every year with her air conditioner.
Wow.
Where something goes wrong.
Yes.
But she knows when I get there, though, I never charge her anything. But
Amen.
She's like, I know you want to eat, so I'm going to get you a card or something. I said, whatever. But she always asks about us when I see her. You know, Gifford's your name. And it's just so funny because we always talk about Frank, you know, Pastor Frank. And she says they're growing. They're building actually a new building attached to their other building. Now, Friendly Woods, that church that Frank sold them. They're building a church building because there's so many children there. They have over 300 members now.
Amen.
So they're growing.
Glory to God.
So that's a blessing.
Amen. And he was Frank's pastor. Frank Sanford was a true friend to Pastor Sam.
Mm-hmm.
He needed a true male. Arabella was, of course, you know, she was anointed, called by God to be there for him, you know. But, you know, guys, you need a guy. Sometimes you need a guy, you know. So Pastor Frank was a true friend to Pastor Sam. Amen. Did anyone else over there have something to share? Well, I saw hand raised. No. Okay. Let's keep on going then. Okay. Let's move forward to page 10. Might not keep you much longer. We're going to stop at 12:30. That's why I brought my watch. So here it goes mathematically, calculating the giving of first fruits and the three tithes. Now, is everybody clear on the three types of tithe and what they mean? Any questions about that before we go on any further? Any questions? Okay. Calculating the giving of the first fruits and the three tithes. Here's an example. Say if your gross income is $1,000. Okay? I just use that as an example because it's easy to mathematically figure. Okay, so your first fruits comes off first, and we're going to get into the study of first fruits, but it sanctifies and makes the rest of your giving holy unto God, okay? And I'm going to prove this through Scripture. Okay, first fruits is 2.5 or 50%, okay? So if you do that mathematically, over to the side, you'll see in the parentheses, I put $1,000 times 2.5% equals what?
$25.
Okay, so it's $25. So you take the $25 and you minus it from the $1,000. I'm not trying to be too simple here. I'm just trying to make it plain. And that gives you $975, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then there comes your first tithe, the Lord's tithe. The tithe that goes where? The place where the Lord is chosen to put his name, the church. Okay, they took it to the temple then. Now here we put it in the church, God's house. And we're accountable. Leadership in the church is accountable to God for how we spend it. It's not our money. It's God's money. It's God's money. It's holy unto the Lord. Okay, so you take a 10% of $975. You see the math on the side. $975 times 10% equals what?
$97.50.
I love what Brother Kenneth Copeland says. He says, don't get out your calculator and calculate it down to the last penny and give. Just round it up to the highest number. Like some people, I might go there. That might be offensive to someone. I'm not going to go there. Just
go there.
I used to do it. Just round it up. I mean, it's not going to hurt. But, you know, on the same note, you can't say I gave more than my tithe because the tithe was $97.50. So you can't say, Lord, I've given more than my tithe because you did not.
Yeah.
Your tithe was just a $97.50. What you gave above that was just an offering for something extra. But I'm saying be generous toward God. You know, I mean, it's not going to hurt to go ahead and round up $97.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to hurt anything to do that?
No,
it's going to do you good. It's going to be good to do that.
You know why I always round it up? Because even in my early, early walk and learning on this, I always rounded it up because God doesn't, he doesn't ever just meet the need. He always gives a little bit more.
That's right. That's good.
He always gives more than what is needed.
That is
There's always something left over.
And you have a generous eye.
Always.
See, having a generous eye means an eye full of light. Now, Brother Copeland, again, I'm very blessed by this because Tammy's giving me these CDs. I'm listening to him. But he was telling the story of a man. And I'll tell you the man's name in the end. You all recognize him. But the man started dating this girl. And he went to this girl's father. And the father said, are you a tither? No. Well, then you cannot date my daughter. He wanted to date. You can't date my. You're not going to marry my daughter because I'm not going to have my daughter married to someone who robs God. And the man was so convicted. He didn't know about tithing. He had been born again for 2 years. He didn't know about tithing. So the man set him down and taught him about tithing. And this man made a commitment to God and worked out a plan. For the last 2 years, he didn't tithe. Bit by bit, he'd pay back God the tithe he had stolen from him. Mm. Does God require that of him? No, no. But see, that was in his heart to do it. That man's name is Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. Yes. Not something? Okay, so Copeland says, round it up. You know, we'll pay God $97.23. Round it on up, $98. Okay, then... okay, now we go to the second tithe, which is the family tithe, which belongs to who?
Us.
You. And God is just as interested in you being blessed as he is you giving to his house, right? God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have enough for your future.
Now,
God wants you to leave an inheritance.
I have a question about that. Is it easier to just take whatever is direct deposited in your bank and take that 10% from there? Because that's after tax?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because you know.
Calculating.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's well. This would be for the benefit, Noelle, of people that got a payroll statement.
Okay.
But I hope you should, when your employer gives you a check. Well, let me back this up. When the Lord brings an increase into your life and He uses your employer as the means to do that, then you should get a statement from them that tells them what your gross was and then what your net was. That's how you know what to tithe off of your net. And for those that are self-employed, I know that gets a little bit tricky. I don't know. I guess I guess if you need some guidance with that, we'll get some guidance for you on that. But the second tithe would be 10% of your net. Okay. Okay. So let's just use a figure here off the top of my head. I don't have this in your notes. Let's just say your net was $850. So your family tithe is going to be what?
$85.
Okay. Now you can take a third of that $85 and you can release it every week, every time you get paid if you want to. If you know where you want to put it, if you know you want to help Oliver Gospel, if you know you want to help Christ Central, you can go ahead and release it. That is giving to the poor. Or if you know of an individual that needs it, needs whatever their need is and they come to you, okay? So let's keep on going. Then you get to the third tithe. The third tithe is one-third of the family tithe. This can be released when the Lord's tithe is given or given monthly or quarterly. You can save it up, okay? The most important consideration is to wait until the Lord tells you where to place it. Don't be in a hurry to release it. The Lord would rather you hold on to it. What did God tell them back in, was it Deuteronomy? He said, you'll bring it to the house, you'll bring it to that storehouse, and you'll lay it up there. You'll keep it there, right? He said, until you're sure. That was in Deuteronomy. Until you're sure where the Lord wants you. Deuteronomy 14:28 to be exact. Store it. Hold on to it until the Lord shows you where to distribute it. Amen. Okay. I think we're going to stop there this morning because if I got into... No, let's keep on going. I said I'd go to 12:30. Let's go to 12:30. Let's go. Let's keep on going. Part 4, the first fruits in Hebraic culture. Now, before I go on to that, does anybody have any questions? Okay, any questions? I'm just going to talk about the first part of this. I'm not going to get into the words, the Hebrew words for first fruits. We'll look at that a little deeper when we go forward, okay? But part 4, the first fruits in Hebraic culture. How is it calculated? Okay. When a field was planted, a certain part of that crop would come to full ripe first, right? Isn't that true in the natural? When you plant something, everything doesn't come up at one time, does it?
No.
A certain part of that comes up to full ripe. It's ripe first. Okay, what would they do with the first part of the field or the vine that was ready to be picked? Would they just leave it on the vine? No. If they did, what would happen to it? It would rot. It would ruin. So there was a measurement that they would use where 100 crops were planted. So they figured this out mathematically. Just like I told you about the tithe, laying it on the animal and then pulling the 10th one out to be sure. Okay. There was a measurement they used where 100 crops were planted, and as an average, 1/40th to 1/60th of the crop came up first. 1/40th to 1/60th of the crop came up first. And you know, in math, the higher, what's that bottom, what's the name given to that bottom figure? Isn't it the denominator?
Denominator.
Okay. The higher the denominator, the lower, the lesser the amount. You understand that? Sometimes you think, well, the higher the denominator, then the more I give. No. The higher the denominator, the less amount. So it was calculated as an average, somewhere between 1/40th to 1/60th of the crop came up first. Okay? The part of the harvest that came up first was called, obviously we know, first fruits, right? As the Hebrew culture moved from agricultural people to vocational people, they asked how they could honor God with the first fruits. They still wanted to honor the Lord. They honored somewhere between 1/40th, which comes out to 2.50%. That's why I get the 2.50. They honored the Lord somewhere between the 1/40th to 1/60th of increase of wages. Apostle Paul taught, go for the 1/40th instead of the 1/60th. Because what do we learn about a generous eye? That's a good eye. That's right. And people that wanted to be stingy, well, I'm going to go with the 1/60th, and that's less I have to give. You know what? That comes out to probably about a couple dollars difference. If you do, take it and calculate it yourself today and calculate it. That comes out to a difference of probably about $5 difference, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that's where it is. Apostle Paul encouraged the church to do the 1/40th, to have a good eye and a generous eye toward God. Well, let's stop there this morning, but I did give you the notes so you can go ahead and you can study and you can look that up. Any questions or comments before we finish today? Anybody not understand anything here?
Do not understand the family tithe.
You don't understand the family tithe?
No, it's not said don't understand. It is a Christian.
Okay.
Can it be not money? Or if you have a family, them, and you have sufficient food in the house, or overplus food in the house, you call them and you cook a dinner, and everybody sit down and eat, and you watch a movie, and don't is the same way as you give them the money?
Well, there's different ways to be generous. Well, that's very true. You mean to release the third tithe?
Yes.
To release the tithe to the poor?
Mm-hmm.
A part of the family tithe?
Yeah.
To release that to the poor? Yes, because if you invite someone over and they need a meal, they need to eat, that would be releasing. You've spent money to prepare the meal.
Right. Because my daughter and I, we have friends, and then we, once in a while, Don will go out and buy things, and we invite them over. We cook a dinner. And then everybody sit down. Tonight we are going to watch God Is Not Dead.
Okay.
They released the second part.
Okay. That's good.
And then, because when I tell Elaine about it, she wouldn't watch it. Until now she want to watch it because she want to see the second part. Because she hear that the second part is interesting. But we all have a good time.
Okay.
So is that like the family tithe?
Okay, let's look at that. That's a good question. Let's look at that. Okay, if you go back into Hebrew culture, back in the Old Testament, that's what they did. They brought their family tithe to the house of the Lord, and they ate it together.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a type of the family tithe. Okay, today we can certainly do that as a part of the family tithe, but we also, because we have moved from an agricultural society to a vocational society, meaning we work jobs and we get a paycheck.
Yes.
Okay, it's always good to save up. I believe that is good what you're saying. You are practicing the family tithe. You're eating together. You know, you're sharing your food like they did in Deuteronomy. But when you give, when you set aside a part and put it in a savings account, and that means if you need it, you use it.
Yeah.
If you need it to pay a bill, it's yours. It's for you to use. Or you set aside it. If you don't open a savings account,
you use it.
The family tithe is for you. The family tithe is for you. You set aside a savings. You save up money and set aside whether you take it to the bank, whether you put it aside a safe place in your house. And then when a need comes up in your family, you can use that. You can use it for vacation. Use it to buy a refrigerator. Use it to buy a tree. Anything for you. Anything you want, as long as it's holy and set apart to God, which I know you would use it for something holy.
Like
put it up for your retirement.
Like my daughter said, or my daughter don't have any money now, I take it and I give it to her.
Yes. And you could use part of your family tithe. Say you've got $100 saved up for your family tithe. Okay? So what's a third of $100?
30.
33. 33 point, mathematically, it's like... 33.3 is $99. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But have a generous eye and round it up to 34.
Yes.
Yeah, so you could release $34 of your family tithe to help someone out medically that had a medical expense. That's a good question.
Right. Yes.
That is what we're doing when we're eating together as a family like that. We're enjoying the blessing of the Lord together.
Mm-hmm.
We're practicing the family tithe.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question, Dolores.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay. God bless you.
Thank you.